right or get into any area you like. To use the microphones for questions, please push the black button and speak when the red light comes on. Thank you.
Those of you who are at the press conference on May 22 will remember that Pete Mahon challenged me as to when I was going to keep Walter's promise to have a press preview. And so here you are, and I'm not sure whether it proves the power of the press or the power of the Associated Press. It was the Long Beach Convention of our union in 1966 which authorized the Black Lake facility, which we now have essentially in being. I think it's important to quote just three paragraphs from the resolution, the enabling resolution. It said, "The union's educational endeavors among present and potential local union leaders must be continued and intensified, but the union cannot and should not always compete with their families for their time. The educational development of our local union leadership can be combined with the enjoyment of family life in a setting removed from the stresses and strains of the workplace and the local union hall." Then it went on to describe the sort of thing which we have now done here. And speaking about family educational centers in the plural, it said they would provide modern, up-to-date educational facilities in a setting of natural beauty and comfortable facilities conducive to the serious educational purposes for which the centers would be established. Now, the resolution spoke of a number of such centers, and in Walter Reuther's comments immediately after the introduction of the resolution, he interpreted a number of such as meaning three or four throughout the United States and possibly Canada. And as the International Executive Board, under this authorization, discussed this entire matter, always, of course, under the urging and the leadership of Walter, was always our first conclusion that the accommodation should be first class, that we were not going to build to the commercial market concept. We weren't going to have another Howard Johnson motel type thing or a Holiday Inn, which unfortunately are built to the concept of putting the money in and getting it out with a big return in 12 or 15 years. And to grow in beauty and to harmonize with the natural loveliness of whatever surroundings we found ourselves in. At the 1968 convention, we had the model which is over here, and Walter in his report to the convention spoke about the model and our hopes for the first of these centers being created here at Onaway, Michigan. A few months after that convention, we made a determination in the board to have only one such facility. Now, this was for a combination of reasons, but the chief reason was, very frankly, the cost involvement, the capital involvement. We had anticipated costs for this facility in the neighborhood of $13 million. And we made plans to amortize that capital cost over a period of 20 years, which certainly is well justified. But our costs have escalated far beyond that figure. This is due to many things: the remoteness of the site, which among other things made it impossible to handle the work on a contract bid basis. It all had to be done on the basis of time and materials, in effect cost plus. And of course, it has been essentially carried out in a period of almost runaway construction costs. So that our present investment in land and buildings is now in the neighborhood of $18 million. The model that we have over here and that we presented to our 1968 convention anticipated an 80-unit building across the trout ponds. And it was ironical that Mr. Ruther and Mr. Stonaroff, the chief architect of this place, on the 9th of May were up here for the purpose of considering the possibility of relocating that 80 unit to this side of the trout ponds because there is no sewerage over there. And the money involvement in doing all of the additionally necessary work would have been far beyond anything we had originally contemplated. At our International Executive Board meeting held here last week, because of the escalation of costs and our total present capital involvement, we have canceled the 80-unit addition because what we have here in being is ample to carry out the basic program for which the facility is planned. Now, we will proceed, of course, with the children's camp. This is an essentially summer-only facility, and we believe that that can be put in place for an additional cost of some $500,000. And of course, without such a children's camp, this could not be, in the true sense of the word, a family education center. The 1970 convention instructed the International Executive Board that at the point that Walter Ruther was no longer the incumbent president of UAW, that the facility should be called the Walter P. Ruther UAW Family Education Center. Our executive board last week did not exactly literally follow that instruction. Instead, we are calling the facility the Walter and May Ruther UAW Family Education Center. We believe it is symbolic of their lives together, which ended together, and which we think emphasizes the family concept. Now, the uses of this place to our union will be, of course, the primary use will be the basic program, which I will describe in a moment, which will be in time segments of two-week intervals. Also, we hope that our regions will utilize this place for one-week winter institutes. We would also, of course, use it as we have been using it for UAW conferences, councils, staff meetings, and other such functions. And then, of course, there would be invitational meetings, such as the UN meeting, which will start here tomorrow, a youth environmental conference of students from across the campuses, which is an outgrowth of the teach-ins held earlier in many places, initiated in Ann Arbor. That will be on the 18th of July. Now, the basic program is geared to the member and the spouse of the member, whether a wife or a husband. And, of course, at the point we are prepared to do it, the children of the couple. We are beginning our basic program on the week of the 13th of September, and terminating it in its initial phase on the 12th of December, skipping Thanksgiving week, so that there will be 6 2-week periods in that period of time. The way in which we will handle it is by publicizing to our members this possibility and taking applications from anyone who may wish to come. We are establishing quotas by regions based strictly upon the number of student slots available, plus the spouses of those students divided into the membership to determine the total quota for any given region. Now, in any two-week period, we have an availability of 265 for students and spouses, leaving a number of 40 for faculty and spouses, the faculty being primarily drawn from our own staff. The applications made would be screened by a regional screening committee consisting of the regional director, the education department representative active in that area, and two local union presidents, with the exception that no local union president would pass upon an application from his own local union. Beyond that, there would be a national screening committee. The only real purpose of the national screening committee would be to balance out quotas. For example, if a given region did not come up to its quota, then there would be the matter of disposing of the additional numbers to regions where they were above quota in application. But more importantly, to make sure that in any given two-week period, the composition of the student body was relatively balanced as far as coming from given companies, a given industry, ethnic groups, and sex, etc., so that each group would be as reflective of our total union as could be possible. With regard to the curriculum, it will be frankly experimental. It would be our purpose. The Family Education Center program is under the direction of Brendan Sexton, who is here with us this afternoon. It would be our purpose to treat this number of individuals who would come from across the United States and Canada as a group, and as subgroups only as the subgroups related to the group. We would involve the members, of course, but also the spouses of the members. When the children are here in number, they would be handled in such a way that they were not dependent at all upon their parents or the parents upon them. With regard to the small ones who would be housed in the family units, we would provide nursery school care so that the parents would be completely relieved of any worry and concern about them and any time involvement. The older ones would be housed in the children's camp, and there would be the necessary provision for minimal supervision to guarantee a degree of civilized order. With regard to the total group, we would emphasize self-government, learning by doing, and we would try and have it so that each group that came here would in effect be the union in microcosm. But beyond that, of course, there would be the traditional union and economic course offerings woven in, and what the homemakers may find desirable to improve their own talents. Now, involvement here would be on a no-loss-time basis. In other words, the students coming here would not get reimbursed for the wages they would lose from their normal employment. We have made it clear to our local unions that this is not simply a suggestion from the International Union, that this is a definite policy. The individuals would come in during vacation periods or whatever. Now, for the initial 12 weeks, and very frankly, these dollar amounts we have sort of reached into the air for because we do not yet have sufficient hard facts as to our cost of operating and the rest of it to have a firm dollar figure grounded in reality. But for the initial 12 weeks, the cost would be $190 per week per person. And this would include a travel factor. Now, the travel factor goes beyond what would be one day's drive from this facility. And we include as being within one day's drive of this facility all of Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, western Pennsylvania, western New York, much of Ontario, and eastern Wisconsin, which of course takes in a very great number of our total members. With regard to the individuals coming here from outside this radius, the program would pay for their travel to Detroit. And then either the individual and his spouse, his wife, or the local union would be responsible for the travel cost from Detroit up here by whatever means. And of course we'd have chartered buses, aircraft, or whatever to make that as cheap as possible. So that in terms of travel cost, it'll be the same whether you're coming from Detroit or from Los Angeles, New York, or Atlanta. So that built into this basic $190 per week per person is this travel factor, an entertainment factor, and maybe I shouldn't have used that word. I should have sought some other more definitive word. Cover the having of movies in here, bringing in small bands and so on to provide evening entertainment. An instructional factor. Now, this does not include the use of our own staff, upon whom there'll be primary reliance, but bringing in individuals from universities, government, business, or whatever. And, of course, food and lodging. This would then mean that for a man and wife, for 2 weeks, the total cost would be $760. This would be divided by the International Union paying $380, half of it, which would be paid out of a fund which has been accumulating for 2 years by convention authorization, and which presently has a balance of $1,700,000. And the other $380 would come from the local union from which the applicant comes. And here, too, in each local union, there has been accumulating for these same 2 years, on the basis of a 5-cent set-aside per month, equivalent funds, which have totally, of course, the same approximate $1.7 million value. Now, for the other uses, the council meetings, the union conferences, winter institutes, staff meetings, etc., that we would have a definitely set scale of charges for meals and rooms, and that would be done under the normal handling of the union. The invitational meetings would obviously depend upon the circumstances of each place. Walter said to us many times during the development of this place, because into it he put so much time of his late years, that it was his strong belief that the beauty of the entire place would bring out the best which is in each one of us. And already we've had more than 4,000 of our UAW shop people here for various events. And I can testify with my personal involvement with General Motors sub-council meetings up here and some other events in which I was myself involved prior to the convention, that Walter's hopes were well-founded and that human beings here relate to one another in a very civilized way. So that I think what we have here is we have a total involvement not of the union individual, but of the union individual with his wife or her husband and the children, if there are any, that we can mold our organization into one that can meet the challenges of the 1970s and beyond. And this capital investment, big as it is, and it is big, it happens to be only a little more than the cost of a full-scale General Motors strike in both the U.S. and Canada for just over 1 week, whereas the investment in this place will be here for 50 years, 75 years, 100 years, and by virtue of the construction and the materials put into it, will be lovelier then than it is now. Now we have with us other individuals who may be in a position to answer the questions you may raise. Pat Greathouse, Vice President of our union, Bob Johnston, who is our director from Chicago, I think is still here. And then from the Campbell Company, the general contractors for the project, we have Dean Baker, the president, and Paul Herbert, the project manager. From the architectural firm of Stoneroff and Hayes in Philadelphia, we have Mr. Frank Hawes and Mr. George Smith. And we have Mr. Jim Henderson and Mr. Andy Henderson from the prime subcontracting firm of Henderson Brothers in Sheboygan, and Earl Pomeroy and Jerry Smith, the manager and assistant manager from the Yosemite Park and Curry Company, who managed the facility because we long since learned that the UAW does better doing business with business than doing business. And we have too, as I have said, Brendan Sexton, who is the director of educational activities and specifically too the director of the Family Education Center. So as Ted said, any questions with regard to this place, its program, or anything else that you may have, why we'd be happy to undertake, keeping strictly in mind one other thing that Pete raised, and that is when I said that with regard to the style of the presidency, I don't smoke, but that's where I stop, and Pete suggested, well, maybe that gives us a chance to have a drink with the president. That'll be true at 5:30, and neither one of us will have to pay, Pete.
Leonard, is there any further plans for a memorial for Walter and May here besides naming the center for them?
Well, in connection with the dedication, we'll certainly weave that into it. And that we have indefinitely postponed until the place is completely finished. However, Pat Greathouse did come up with a proposal at our board meeting, which was gratefully accepted. Roy Ruther's ashes were to be deposited here in Black Lake, and a tree had been personally picked out by Walter and located close to one of the buildings. And Pat proposed, and as I say, we all agreed that we'll have Roy's ashes, Walter's ashes, May's ashes, and beyond that bridge, which leads into the woods, to have a path that would lead to a grove of trees where the ashes would be placed appropriately, not in any cemetery-like situation, but a place of meditation, a place of quiet, a place where people could go sit down and benches, talk quietly to one another, think. The Yugoslavian trade unions have already asked, could they send a tree to this place to be and planted here, and obviously in such a grove, such a tree would be most appropriately placed, and there are other trade union groups across in other lands that have made similar inquiry. So we will have, under Pat's direction, a landscape architect develop this, and when that is done, we will, of course, have the necessary and appropriate ceremonies. Is there anyone else? Well, all I can conclude is that the walking has exhausted you.
Either that or made him thirsty.
Is there any possibility, Ted, of moving up the cocktail hour? I would strongly suggest it. Why don't we do that? Oh, excuse me. Where?
Yeah. Well, one more question.
You're going to be very unpopular.
Leonard, what's the chances of the average worker in the assembly line of getting here? Now, they're going to read about this and see the pictures on television, and I assume the first thing that will occur to them will be, hey, there's a great spot to have a bargain vacation. Now, how are you going to handle queries like this?
Well, we've tried to make it as clear as we can, Walter in his reports to the conventions and in all of the groups that we had up here. This is not a vacation site. This is a family education center. And with Winter Institutes, with the basic program and the other activities, it will be fully utilized year-round. But the reason we have it on the basis of application is so that within the limits of our tremendous numbers, that the average individual who has the necessary desire and willingness to come here on a no-loss-time reimbursement basis can have a relatively equal chance to come. Now, in addition, we are certainly during this period, and I think we'd do this at any time, because weekends will be relatively free. One group will be going out on a Friday evening, another group would not be coming in until a Sunday evening. We've got over 500,000 families within easy driving distance of this place. And certainly we would encourage maximum individual involvement on that sort of basis, because we want to keep always foremost that this facility belongs to our members and not to the leadership. Now, obviously, when you're talking about 1,600,000 people and their families, it's difficult to manage, because it has to be managed. But the reason it's on application and a screening committee is to try and remove from the process political favoritism, the choosing of people just to come for the purpose of coming, and to clear the path for those who, of their own volition, want to be educated to further a union career.
Would they be encouraged to come on Saturday to visit here?
I see that as a distinct possibility, yes, because the weekends would be an interval period when the basic program is underway, where the place could be available for such a purpose. Yes.
Mr. Lucott, I think we were all quite impressed with the various attempts concerning the environment around here. We had our tour today. I'm wondering if in the educational programs we planned here, it is planned also to attempt to instill this philosophy that seems to be in the union leadership within the union membership. I'm sorry to say that the reason I asked this question is, in looking off one of the balconies, unfortunately, I found about the only eyesore around here, a couple of 7-Up cans and an Ivory liquid bottle dumped down a bankside. And are you planning some educational processes with regard to ecology and preserving the environment?
Well, I suppose when you see a beer can or a 7-Up can, it's very hard to shed all the habits of civilization quickly. Yes, most definitely will be our intention to do that. And we're cooperating with people from Michigan State, for example, so that they won't just be involved in the buildings, but in the surrounding woods and countryside. Now, it's pretty obvious we can't rely simply on the grace of the surroundings to guarantee graceful behavior, although we think that will go a long way and has already gone a long way. But we want to do it with a minimum of imposed rules. That's why I emphasize the notion of these groups would come here on the principle of self-government, because we think out of themselves, out of the group, they will impose their own discipline, and that's the best kind of unionism in our view.
Mayor, who will reimburse them if they do have any losses?
There will be no reimbursement.
Will they be encouraged to come here on their vacation time, is that it, or?
You take the basic automobile contracts, vacation pay is paid presently in lieu of vacation, so that the money can be available at any time the individual wants, or he can take it at the given time and save it for this purpose. But we have made it very clear to the local unions that this is not simply a rule that the International Union will not reimburse, but they are not to reimburse in any event. Everybody has to come here on the same basis, which is that they are volunteering their time, in return for which their costs here are paid and the education they are afforded is also free.
Leonard, do you anticipate operating the year-round beginning next January, say?
Oh, yes. The only exception to that would be the children's facility, which will be warm weather only.
Thank you.
Are some of the educational areas or instructional areas you hold eventually to include in a typical program?
Well, as I said, the initial two weeks segments, the 12 weeks, are experimental, but I would like Brendan Sexton to comment to that question.